In this week, on the 13th of April 2013, after three successive 1-0 defeats, if only, two Luke Moore goals helped the Dons draw 2-2 with Exeter City to keep their survival hopes alive. If I said confidence was high, I would be lying, midfielder Harry Pell revealed. This is what this sorts the men's from the boys. We're still positive about survival despite the way recent games have gone. Now we face games against Gillingham and Fleetwood that will decide our future. Ah, excellent. It's nothing better than going into the last few games clutching on by your nails. Anyhow, we're the same old, very old Wombles. We're back.
I've been standing here since many years ago. You've been under my skin for as long as I have known. We traveled away and we stand in the rain and the cold. Take the rough with the smooth. If we win or we lose, we just go on.
Hello, hello, dear listener. Welcome to the show. My name is Matt Cooper, and currently I am joined by our man with all the buttons, Dr. Adam Proctor. Hey, Adam, how are you, mate?
It's been a bad week for lots of reasons. never mind. Yeah, we are here, but we're here. We're here. That's what counts.
But, you know, and this just proves that we're moving on as a nation, where we can say these sort of things rather than usually going, I'm all fine. And I'm also joined by I'm going to keep doing this, Mark, the face of the opponent's podcast, the Welsh Dragon himself, tall Mark Lewis. Hello, mate. How are you doing?
Good evening. I think I've had a slightly better week than you two, but it's all relative. Obviously, on the pitch, it hasn't been ideal. Off the pitch, things are going a little bit better, but we can discuss that tomorrow. I'm wearing, for the listeners' benefit, the Jester's yellow and blue hat that I wore in the CCL that I was banned from wearing in the CCL, probably by Martin Drake, actually, because you couldn't really see over my head and the hat in the small stands in King's Meadow. But my son's had it at university, and he brought it back for the week. And he's bringing new fans with him. Friends of his are coming to the Plymouth game.
What did you say Port Vale for?
Because I was hoping that I was possibly going to substitute the opposition for someone we might beat.
Dear me. Anyhow, I don't even know where to go with the reflecting on the last game, Barrow, which is narrow one.
You could get the opposition right to start with.
Barrett Burton.
I mean, we might be playing Barrow next year.
Well, you're giving teams.
You were giving. I think Port I Vale, said that.
I was giving Barrow. Do you know, this is the way it's
at
working
least Port
already.
Vale is still in League One for now.
Already.
We've lost it.
Shambles of a podcast, dear listener. Sorry.
They're just about in League One. Anyhow, yeah, I mean, it just the Burton game was. But I think you called it last week. You said that the record for the Volunteers away day is appalling.
Unfortunately so. I used to be a volunteer, not a volunteer anymore. But I probably went on about 10 or more Volunteers away days. And none of us can actually remember. Those of us that have been going for many, many years. None of us can actually remember going back more than a decade as to when we last won. Someone said it was someone like Western Supermare. And therefore, that must have been something like Conference South.
Yeah.
And I can't honestly remember the season that we were in Conference South. Obviously, we went straight through Conference South and won it as champions, I believe. So, yeah, that's going to be quite a while ago, considering it's 10 years this week, obviously, that the Plymouth game is obviously being celebrated at the club later this week.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I always find it really tricky, you know, with all of these sort of things coming towards the end of the season, the sort of celebration things that happen around it, because, you know, the season hasn't ended yet. People are feeling quite anxious. I get it. It's 10 years ago and we want to do it in this week, but you know, I'm hoping it's going to be well attended. I'm sure it will be, but I think people have got their minds on other things. And also, you know, it's the day after quite an important home fixture against Stockport. Although I'm the only thing I'm taking from it is it looks like neither side wants to play with any recognised defenders.
Yeah, Stockport have recalled Nostradamus Lewis said we would do this last week, and we have indeed recalled Riley Horan from Walton Hersham. They've recalled their non-league player on loan, and he's been on loan playing with Will Nightingale. Christy Grogan has been on loan in non-league.
How many other players did we have that we could recall, though? That's what I want to know, because we're clearly going to...
Apart from Horan, yeah. Well, the interesting thing is that we have another centre-back, Ethan Sutcliffe, who's been on loan for most of the last 2 years at Tonbridge Angels, which I think is Conference South. But evidently, they don't necessarily...
So it's a 50-50 Nostradamus prediction.
No. I read somewhere that... I read a quote from Sutcliffe saying he'd already been told he's being released at the end of the season. So presumably, therefore, they believe more in Horan, even though he's more junior and has been playing at a lower level, than they do in Sutcliffe.
I mean, I think the Horan thing is hilarious. I mean, you know, if you've had a look on the official website, and you know how when you go to a restaurant and they put the pictures of the food, you know, like a McDonald's or whatever, they put the picture of the food and the food looks amazing. It looks like, wow, this looks amazing. When you get it, you're like, why is it so flat? And it's like they put the picture up of Riley Horan, and I'm just wondering if they tried to put that picture up to make him look older. Because it's singularly failed. I've never seen a picture of someone look so young on there.
I can top that, actually, if you want to see players that are really quite young. I went to the women's game. I thought I'd somehow, Trina, all of us actually managed one appearance at a women's game this season. Yeah. So my wife and my daughter and I went to the women's game the weekend against Exeter at Plough Lane. We played really, really well. And won 2-0, and deservedly won 2-0. And that means that Kevin Foster and his crew and all the squad there are doing so well. They've actually hauled themselves out of the bottom two to go down. And there's one more game left of the season, which is hashtag way at the weekend. I think we probably still need to win that, because yeah, our rivals for second bottom place are playing Billericay, who are bottom with 0 points from the whole season. However, the point of the story is, some of the women's players, I know John Scales' daughter's in the squad. She was actually an unused sub that day, and she's a sixth form student at Putney High. But there were a couple of, four or five players certainly leapt out, including Ashley Hinks, who was an absolutely inspirational captain. And we've obviously had her on the pod before. But there was the right winger. The formation they play is 4-2-3-1, so three attacking midfield players, two very... wide players left and right. And the right wing was Alicia Buckingham, who was one of the two Buckingham sisters playing the team. And I don't know how old she is, but she looks about 15. I'm sure she's...
Have you seen the picture of Riley Horan?
I have seen the picture of Riley Horan, yes.
Have you seen, honestly?
But Buckingham was playing on the side of the pitch while I was sitting, and she looks even younger.
He looks 15. Is he 15? How old is Riley Horan?
I could be wrong, but I think Jennings, Horan and Nkeng are all in the same year, so they're all 18.
That is amazing. So we're basically going to be playing our academy tied against Stockport, who currently sit where in the table?
Fourth, I believe, behind Bradford and Bolton and... maybe fourth or fifth, either behind Bradford, Bolton, Cardiff and Lincoln, or...
Fifth.
Possibly in that mix anyway.
They're fifth. Thank you, Adam. So they're in the playoffs. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Yeah.
Yep, they are excellent. In the playoffs.
But they have just played a big, long, arduous trek. They were a trek down from Stockport to Wembley. They lost. Apparently they were pushing Luton all the way through the second half, and then Luton did a smash and grab and beat them 3-1 at the end. There's no irony whatsoever on the Luton celebrations of winning the Virtue Trophy, which is just... ludicrous, because they shouldn't have been in it. They know that, you know, they're in it because Swindon broke the rules, but they know they shouldn't have been in it, and then they're not even like acknowledging that whatsoever, which I think is quite just shamefaced, frankly. But anyway, we weren't good enough, so we didn't get to the final. Who cares? I wouldn't have gone. I said I wouldn't have gone, so there you go. But Luton are getting excited about it. Very excited.
Yeah, of course they're getting excited about it because they're not going to get promoted back into the Championship. So they've got to be so excited about something because they're going to run out of parachute money soon if they haven't already.
Very true. They're also proclaiming that Jack Wiltshire is the Messiah, not a naughty boy, which frankly, considering he's guided them in inverted commas to an upper mid-table
finish. Yeah, exactly.
With such a huge budget is just shambolic, frankly.
I know, it's it's ridiculous. Oh, blimey. And there's what have we got? How many games left? There's
we've got five. Most other people have got four.
Yep. That's right.
Yeah,
that's
a positive.
We've got four, Exeter have got three.
Okay, four and three, that's right, yeah. We've got one more than ever now.
Yeah, and Luton have got five.
Paul Vale have probably got about seven. Paul Vale are playing tonight. Oh, yeah. We're recording on Tuesday. They're also playing on Thursday. And they're playing, I believe, on Sunday as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they've got to catch up all these games.
They've got...
Loads of the teams. The teams near the top have got more games. Like Stockport's only played 40. Stevenage 41. So they've got Luton can't catch them. That would be really, really hard because they've got the same amount of games almost in hand.
Well, Luton can get a maximum of 72, can't they? So,
So Stockport and Stevenage basically have to start losing every game.
Yeah, that's the way it has. That was the way it has to work. So, you know, and even, I mean, I think if you look at the top of the table, so you've got, Lincoln and Cardiff. Lincoln are up. Cardiff are pretty much going to join them. Bradford 71, Bolton 70, Stockport 67, Stevenage 67, and then a drop off to Plymouth on 63. I would be amazed if it's not those, if that's not how it ends. I mean, I think those top, the playoff positions are almost done, aren't they?
Absolutely. This is Port Vale's reward for getting to the quarterfinal of the FA Cup. FA and EFL refused point blank to extend the season. So they're playing Barnsley tonight. They're playing Peterborough away, which is a bit of a schlep, obviously, from Stoke, on Thursday. And they're playing Wigan at home on Sunday the 19th. So that's three games in the next 5 days. Followed up, presumably next week, by Cardiff away on Wednesday the 22nd. And... then again, they must have more midweek games after that as well, which is just completely bonkers.
Well, the most they can get is 55 points.
If Rotherham Rotherham lose tonight, then they will be mathematically relegated, apparently.
Okay, if Rotherham lose tonight.
Yep,
that makes sense. So are Northampton playing tonight as well?
They are playing Luton tomorrow because their game's obviously been switched has been. You wouldn't imagine they'll get much change out of that either.
Yeah. But Port Vale, I guess, have got a chance. They literally have to win every single one of their games.
Dear listener, you would have noticed that we haven't mentioned any of our games yet.
No. I mean, well,
how well we performed against Burton.
Because we didn't. We've skipped over the Burton game deliberately in the fact that we didn't play that well against. But I mean, listen, the issue we've got is the issue we've had for the last few weeks is that we it's great. Listen, brilliant that Brown was on and causing all sorts of trouble. That is fantastic.
You'd have had a penalty.
Yeah, should have. I mean, I've seen that. It definitely looks like a penalty, pushing the back.
Two-handed pushing the back. It's ludicrous.
Yeah. So brilliant that Brown's back. Brilliant that Tilly was able to come on. So hopefully they'll start. But this is not where our issue is. Our issue is that we do not have any recognisable centre-backs apart from Oggs on the pitch. So we miss it. I mean, I only hope that Johnson or Lewis or Bauer, one of those, at least one of those, is available to play tomorrow. I mean, the truth is we need all three available, really. You know, you need, if you have Lewis and Johnson and Oggs, then you feel a lot better. But whether they're going to be able to do that, I just don't know. And we haven't heard anything. I mean, there was an update in the week from Craig Cope, just explaining where we are, what the situation is with injuries and such like, and he was able to
repeat what you said when I posted that update.
I mean, it was. I mean, I just think that the one thing that I think we're all excited about to hear is obviously we knew that Stevens was out for the season, but it shocked us all, I think, to find out that Brody Hughes is out for the season as well. I think
I'm literally wondering how on earth we're going to be able to cope. Frankly.
I don't think any of us know, to be honest with you. I mean, it's a loss to us all. I mean, that's ridiculous, isn't it? Brody Hughes. I mean, how many times have we actually seen? did he play at all this season?
I think he played one of the Virtualist Trophy games.
I mean, it's just ridiculous.
What I find interesting about Craig's update, and there's a little bit of those people, a little bit of the a sort of hint of the Mark Robinson, Chris Stewart video thing that was done a couple of seasons back in the season that we got relegated out of League One.
It's not what? Why are you saying that?
Oh, because it's obviously trying to rally the troops overall, and it's not just another message coming from Johnny. But what I like, and Craig is a very straightforward, totally transparent, honest guy, and what I really like is the fact that if he's mentioned, as he has mentioned, only Stevens and Hughes as players who are out for the season, then surely he knows, because if you read the whole of the statement, it picks up on things that have been discussed, not just by us, but other podcasts as well. So it would appear that definitely the club are listening in some ways, or at least it's being relayed back to them what the podcast is talking about, what the fans are talking about. Those two are the only two that are mentioned, so you would like to hope, therefore, that Omar and obviously Brown has come back. Tilly will be able to play a part. And as you said, Matt, you know, Lewis and Johnson and Bauer between them somehow will be available. Because yeah. That would actually give us much more of a fighting chance than...
Listen,
than
if we
it
get...
It seems like they set out to draw 0-0 at Burton and they didn't have any plan B at all.
If we get those players back, Johnson, Lewis, Bauer, Hippolyte and Bugle, if we get them back, brilliant. But, I mean, I think we need them back sooner rather than later. And I get the fact that we have to make sure that they are back and can last the rest of the season. But... you know, we're running out of games. So my hope is that.
Do you think you keep them rested till Saturday just because it might, you know, you don't want them like coming on half fit. You don't want them getting an extra knock or something. So would you wait in a sense to ensure that you have a better chance of winning the Saturday game?
Well, I
get you. I completely understand it, but we are literally running out of games. And if you'll get into a situation where, I don't know. I mean, it's you're right, Adam. It's really tricky. It's a really difficult. It's a dilemma. But you know, if we lose, there's going to be a difference tomorrow if we lose 1-0 or 3-0 or 4-0.
But that is the crux, I think. Even if we lost 2-1, 3-1, you know, we don't want to talk about losing. We don't want to in any way.
No.
Talk the team down whatsoever. We want to win every game we possibly can do. But yeah, a narrow scoreline. I mean, Burton wasn't great because we didn't win the game. But it was a narrow scoreline.
Yeah.
And again, Wigan haven't scored a huge amount of goals. So literally, we have to go game by game. Exeter, you know, I was giving you guys literally minute-by-minute updates on the Exeter-Plymouth game because it looked like for a long time Exeter were going to win that game. And I would be quite gutted, actually, just for the game alone, if I was an Exeter fan, on the basis that they took the lead, were in the lead for a long time, retook the lead, and then Plymouth came right back at them. And obviously, it's a big local derby in Devon. But they got a point, which makes them a point closer to us.
Yeah, and 2 points. What I mean, it's incredibly tight. And also, the other thing is, Adam, this is kind of like our game in hand. If we can get anything from this game tomorrow against Stockport, it's a huge thing.
Well, I think when you've got Exactly. But when you've got these tough squad decisions, we should just defer to the Don's Trust board because they always know which players to pick.
Absolutely right.
Yeah. I mean,
Mr. Niall Cooper is not currently on the pod. Yeah. As he's otherwise engaged. Otherwise, he could make a sarcastic comment at this point.
But it's interesting that if you were going to pick, here's a big thing though with tomorrow, because can Hutchinson play on Saturday and then again on Wednesday? That is a big ask. And then so who plays centre back?
Well, you'd like to hope, as we just said, that either Johnson or Lewis is able to get through, at least to get through the bulk of the game.
Yeah.
And then by 65, 70 minutes, you see what's going on. The issue, of course, is that, you know, even if, for example, one out of Lewis or Johnson is able to start and one out of the other two, Johnson or Bauer, for example, is able to be on the bench, then at least you could alternate them and get 90 minutes out of them, squeeze 90 minutes out of them between them. Likewise, we saw, unfortunately, that Hutchinson, as doughty as he is, and I don't think we mentioned last week that he did get a great ovation from the fans, justifiably so, because he literally put his life on the line in that Grimsby game in the last season. But he didn't have the legs. He doesn't have the legs. If Stockport obviously do have to play their big centre forward who ruled the roost against us, then so much the better. But they do also have quite a speedy Elafe, the speedy winger slash centre forward. Who kind of did in for us really at their place a couple of weeks ago. So,
it's difficult. I mean,
neither Lewis or Bauer is going to be necessarily in that regard.
Yeah. And how you throw Horan into that situation as well. I mean, that's a big ask for a young guy. I mean, he's done brilliantly at Walton Hersham. I mean, and they've won the league, which is fantastic, but what are they? They're below Conference South. Are they the step below Conference South?
I think they won the Ryman Prem. Yeah.
So they're in Conference South from next season?
Yes. But the level he's been playing at has been Conference South all season.
Yeah.
Sorry, not Conference South. Ryman Premier. So it's two steps below where Jennings and Foyer were, and we've seen obviously little glances, although Jennings and Foyer were definitely competitive for Sutton, who themselves were a low mid-table team in the conference. Unfortunately, obviously, Horan is level below that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a big ask, especially when you're coming up against, established League One or Championship even players. It's going to be difficult. So if he starts tomorrow, I think that's going to be. I mean, listen, we're all Wimbledon fans here. We're going to give it out. We're going to be there. We're going to give it our all and cheer this team on and support it as much as we can. You know, it's a great 50 points already. It's a great tally. If we can get from our last four games at least another 3 or 4 points, that should see us through because. It is going to be really, really difficult. But
what really
we have
love
to believe, and we have got. And like we say, we've got players coming back. And after Saturday's game, we've got at least a week between games, which we're going to really, really need. But if we can pick up some points either tonight or in Plymouth on Saturday, and if we can get some players back, that'll be brilliant. We don't want to be going into the last two games knowing we need something. It's really, I don't think any of us thought we'd be in this position, but then none of us thought we would have the injuries that we've sustained, which it feels unprecedented, to be honest with you.
And also, to be fair, and we talked about it before, we talked about the game at Lincoln and how that turned out, and also the home game against Peterborough, we have been creating chances.
Yeah,
it's only been after the Lincoln game, Luton and Burton, where the fragmented nature of whatever team was available, it really felt like the team that played was the team that was available rather than the team that anyone would have wanted to actually put out in the park.
Yeah,
and as a result, we really didn't have pattern to our play. What I mean, I'd really love, apart from being safe, obviously, in the next couple of games, is the under-18s themselves have just won their, clinched their title, which is absolutely fantastic, and they're on some crazy long unbeaten run. If we get to a situation where we can put a couple of lads, like maybe Amari Seeley, who was on the bench once way back in the winter, who looks like a promising attacking midfield player, who scored the second goal against Orient with a 45-yard lob in their last home game. If he could come on, even be given a taste of the action for that last game, either Wigan away and or Huddersfield home, in the knowledge that we're already safe, then that would just be fantastic.
Well, that would be amazing. But I feel at the moment it's more like getting our first teamers back onto the pitch, because it's not just about, I mean, there's two things here, isn't there, for JJ. One is about staying up, so we need at least another win. The other, which I now think is probably beyond us, unfortunately, is to get more points than last time we were in League One. So that was 57. So that means picking up 8 points from our last four games, which I just think is would be really, really difficult to do. But I think the most important thing is to get players back and to be competitive. That's what we need to be tomorrow against Stockport and at home against Plymouth. And I don't think you can start thinking that this is an easier game or this is a harder game, because like all the sides we're playing are challenging in one way or another.
Stockport and Plymouth certainly are, and certainly will be in the next week. I suspect by the time we play Wigan will be safe, and three out of four of the teams that are going to go down, maybe even all four, would have already been decided. Makes things easier, I don't know.
I don't know, because I think that allows sides to play with a freedom that they didn't have. I think if you're safe going into the last couple of games of the season, there's a sort of real sense of freedom, which is what I was hoping that we would have. That was my big hope, was that, you know, even by now we might be in a situation to go along and enjoy the games.
The other interesting one is Huddersfield, and again, no one wants to go to that last game.
Oh God, no!
But at the moment, Huddersfield are eighth. Stevenage have a game in hand on them, and are 5 points clear of them. Stevenage's game in hand is tonight. If Stevenage were to win that game, although I think they may be playing Bolton, I'm not sure. But if they were to win their game in hand, they'd have 70 points. Huddersfield, on the same number of games, they'd both have four games left, but they'd be 8 points ahead of Huddersfield. The maximum Huddersfield can get is 74. Yeah. And Stevenage would already have 70. Goal difference are roughly the same. Yeah.
Again, I mean, I just don't think there's any easy games. So the sooner we can get players back and start picking up points, the better it is. I don't think we can. And Adam, I think this is the problem. I don't think we can go into a game thinking, let's wait, because the truth is, if we can get any sort of advantage at any point in that game, it might help. I mean, there is a huge risk in that, but if you can manage to pick up a point or three, then it's kind of worth it, because you don't know if you're going to pick, you don't know if another injury is going to occur at any other time in any other game. So it's really difficult. My understanding was that, you know, I think JJ was saying in his last interview that Johnson was eager to play, and maybe these few days of resting him gives him the chance. And, you know, the fact it's on a Wednesday rather than a Tuesday gives him more of a chance. The other thing we were talking about last week was this idea of getting free agents in. Now, what we didn't know is that there's a registration deadline for free agents, which was on the 28th of March. So we can't get anyone else in. Otherwise, I'm sure we wouldn't be recalling Riley Horan. So we'd have got someone else in. We'd have probably got other people in sooner anyhow. And I think the other thing, hindsight is an amazing thing, but it's clear that Harbottle would have played the last few games. had he been with us.
That's an interesting one to address because a lot of people have piled on the Harbottle.
Yeah.
When Harbottle was released, and he was released so that we could obviously afford wages, it seems to be the straightforward, honest truth there.
Yeah.
Craig's been out front about how he really didn't want to do that. But at that point, even playing a back three, your first choice back three was Johnson, Lewis and Hoggs. Your replacement for the back three, other than those three, would have been Bauer. And Bauer had played a good 10, 15 games or so. Likewise, Hutchinson had been on the bench, but had not been necessarily used very much. So was Harbottle at best fifth or sixth choice? And can any club of our size and our resources, at League One, let alone League Two level, afford to carry six centre-backs? Almost certainly not. And in that regard, Harbottle was probably the only, in that was sort of inverted commas, asset that we had to be able to twist with. And he would have been out of contract, and presumably Bristol Rovers offered him a contract. He took it even though there was no guarantee that he'd stay up, and there was no guarantee that Evans would stay. It's been announced since then that Evans has stayed, and they've obviously done a relatively good, decent job at the back. Although they had Tom Lockyer, ex-Welsh international, Kofi Barmer, who we obviously know with his long throw has been with us in League One last year as well, in League Two last year, sorry, and obviously Harbottle as well. So they clearly got a bit more in the way of resources, even though they're level below us than we have.
Oh, anyhow, I just want to, I'm going to move us on a little bit. There are other bits and bobs going on, and one of the things I'm trying to find out about is the end of season awards are coming up this Saturday, Plymouth. So there's an exciting itinerary of activities that are happening. And I think everyone's going to feel buoyed and in the mood for enjoying the celebrations post the Plymouth match. But
we might be if we get any kind of
exactly. But what I can't see here, so is the deadline to vote. So if the club could put anywhere on the site where the deadline is to vote, that would be useful. At the moment, it's still up on the. On the club website, you have to scroll down through the news section a fair bit, but there doesn't appear to be a deadline about when you should vote by. So I'm guessing sooner rather than later. So do have a look on there, and I think the most exciting thing is look through the women's goals. And also, this is crazy, isn't it? Because Mark, I looked back on the goals from the game on Sunday, the brilliant victory over Exeter, and there were two goals there that were fabulous that could easily get into that goal of the season thing. So
I mean, again,
I find it really weird why you would do the goal of the season with games left of the season. It seems a bit weird to me, especially for the women's team. I can understand for the men's team. But for the women's team, it just seems like, hopefully they get over the line against hashtag. Which is going to be difficult. But So anyhow, you can still vote for your end of season awards there.
Did we talk about Kevin Foster last week? I can't remember whether we did. I don't think we did, actually.
I can't remember if he came out, but obviously Kevin's leaving after 10 years. And I confess, I didn't see his little video. But, I mean, he's going to be a loss. It's going to be interesting to see who takes over next. I wonder if a certain member of our, who's joined us on the podcast, would look to step up.
Who knows? I mean, the interesting thing with Kevin, and obviously Kelly Jade is his partner, who's been part of the squad on and off, over that 10-year period as well, is that I get the general impression, having obviously we had Ashley in the pod and George Jones, who a lot of people know, he's involved with the women's team as well, and I've chatted to him about this a little bit as well. I get the general impression that Kevin has been able to really make the absolute most out of the very, very meagre resources that unfortunately we're in a position to be able to pass on to him with regards to what the women's team can offer, what resources they have, what playing, training resources they have, the fact that they obviously can't really pay very much, if at all, to any of their players, as far as I'm aware. And there's been a major turnover this season, over the last couple of seasons, actually, in this playing squad, understandably, because they're having to play away games in Bristol or in Wales or really far-flung places around the country. Even though it's still regionalised, they're still playing. Exeter obviously came up for the kick-off at 2 o'clock on last Sunday as well. So there's some big long trips involved there. And he has been able to blend in a number of these younger players, like I talked about the two Buckingham sisters earlier on, as well as John Scales' daughter, and still make a team really clearly, from having seen them in the flesh, has the fighting spirit, has the oomph, has the general self-belief. And my wife said it very straightforwardly, because obviously we've all seen recent home games for the men, especially the Luton game most recently. And we all said it was really quite refreshing to see a team in yellow and blue just believe in themselves, go for it, not hold back, properly support each other, properly engaged, supporting crowd as well. A few faces I knew, but otherwise lots of really independent brands that I've never seen before, who, by the look of it, only come for the women's game, don't come for the men's game either, which is great that there's an independent audience.
Yep.
So whatever happens in that final game against Hashtag, whether or not they manage to pull it off and they get the win and the draw they need to be able to survive or otherwise, I think everybody in any way connected to the club, oh, Kevin and his support staff and all the players and Kelly Jade. I mean, I've met both Kevin and Kelly Jade. When I was on the board, I ended up going to a couple of funerals or a couple of older individuals, and I didn't realise actually that this is a husband and wife. They sadly died within a few months of each other. But I went as a Don's Trust board representative, and what I didn't realise until I went to the first one is that the lady, I believe, and the gentleman died first, was actually Kevin's grandfather. So he is a proper Wimbledon fan, born and bred through and through, all the way through, is literally from a boy himself, and obviously now, a grown man and father, and the kind of general person who's guided the women's team for so long. So whoever steps up, whatever resources they have at their disposal, I've seen they've got some new board members on board on the women's side of things, which were announced last week. That's quite important because they sound like they really have a lot of clout and some potential connections as well. And they'd be certainly people that we will have to lean into be able to see what potential resources and what potential replacements we can find.
I mean, and yeah, and well, we all thank Kevin for all his work. He's done absolutely brilliantly, and it's great that you were there on Sunday. But you weren't just there for the game, were you, Mark? I mean, you were enticed there because you were meant to be representing Wimbledon in sporting history. There was a five-a-side game between Wimbledon sporting history and Whopper. And I believe that you and Niall got promoted as the same old Wobbles to play in the Whopper team.
Self-promotion. So there is the Wimbledon Sporting History, which obviously is a number of different volunteers who do a sterling work. The most public sort of visible part of the sterling work they do is the museum within the club shop, which a lot of people would have seen on a match day. And if you've never been in there, then just take some time out pre-match to go in there, because it's absolutely fascinating. And there's loads of things going back many, many decades. All of us that with the same Wombles crew and anyone else, whatever their history is with Wimbledon, whether it's only in recent years, whether it's 10 years back to the Plymouth game or going further back to the FA Cup final or whatever, there's memorabilia from all those games there. And that's been carefully curated and looked after and sorted into loads of different cabinets by these people from Wimbledon Sporting History. So every year they get together and they give certain well-deserving volunteers specific awards for the number of amount of time and effort and energy and everything else they put in. And they also have, in memory of Mick Pugh, who a number of people know, as well as being my old geography teacher from Rutledge in Merton Park, he also was the founder and orchestrator of the Wimbledon Old Players Association. So there is, and Mick's son, Alex, plays in this annual six-a-side game between former Wimbledon players primarily former AFC Wimbledon players, so the kind of CCL type era, and representatives of Wimbledon sporting history, which is where myself and Niall and Matt was unfortunately down to play but not able to play for health reasons.
Exactly.
And this year, the people that turned up were Mickey Roots. Either of you two remember the wonderful, unique stat that Mickey Roots has as a Wimbledon player?
No.
No? So Mickey Roots was an apprentice in the early 90s, but never really broke through much beyond the youth team. He then came to play in the CCL days, I think of the second season. He played away at Withdean 2000, scored on his debut away at Withdean, did his cruciate ligament in that game, having scored, and never played for us again. So he has a unique record of one appearance and one goal. So Mickey Roots was there. Andy Sullivan was there. Andy Sullivan's son, who plays in Aldershot's under 23s and really is quite shit hot, frankly. Darren Dobinson, anyone remember him flying up the wing? And just to make all of us feel particularly old, Darren Dobinson's now 43 and has a little greying, goatee beard, which is quite ridiculous. Darren Dobinson's nephew, who's about 14, 15, also played for us. Who else do we have on board? There was a rumour Keith Ward was going to be there, but he wasn't there, unfortunately. But the problem was they only actually had six players. So then there's someone, we from the Women's Sporting History side, had a bit of a bigger squad, at which point we were politely, everyone was asked, well, does anyone fancy swapping sides? So Niall and I took one look at our lot and one look at the Wolper lot and thought, well, there, let's just swap sides quickly.
Wow.
And so
Wow.
we did. We basically
Wow.
turncoated straight away.
Totally, man. That is it. And perhaps you won.
Well, the idea of us obviously swapping sides was to even things up, because 2 years ago we played and Matt also played,
Yeah.
and on that occasion the Woper team won 8-1. They had Ray Merry in goal that day, and it didn't go down so well because he frankly filled the whole goal. Ray wasn't available this year, so Niall played in goal for some of the time. Andy Sullivan also played in goal for some of the time as well, and so managed to save a penalty. Yeah, I twisted my ankle after about a minute. Was hobbling around the whole game, but yeah, it was a good hard fought game actually. I think the
Yeah,
final score was 10-6.
last season it went to penalties.
Last season went to penalties. Yeah,
Last season it went to penalties. I remember missing the crucial penalty.
congratulations. Well, I was actually offered a penalty this time, and I figured that they would need to actually get the goal to clinch the win. So Dobbo Junior offered me the goal. The penalty, which I then turned down, which Niall then snapped up straight away. And to be fair
I
to
bet he
Niall, he
did.
did manage, even in the six-a-side game, to sit the goalkeeper down and keep it. So,
Look at him. Niall's going to live off that for forever. That is
well,
brilliant.
I'm living off the fact that I managed to earn two of the penalties because people were tracking back to cover my run and they ran straight in the penalty area, which is an automatic forfeit of a penalty.
So I think that it's important to remember that, I know for many fans coming along, the most important thing for them is that they watch a game of football and we hopefully win. I get that. I get that. But in actual fact, for a load of other people, there's everything else around it, which is amazing about what we do as a club, which I just think is fantastic. So days like the Wish Whopper game and being able to watch the women's team as well, I just think there's some brilliant things that we do. And I know it's difficult. I know it's really hard at the moment. And, listen, I feel pissed off with it. We all do. But we have to remember that we do support the best club in the world. And it's because of these reasons. And, who knows what's going to happen next? Because last Wednesday we've confirmed it. We're going down to 50.01. That is now official. It has gone through. The votes were all cast, and we got enough votes through. So that is now happening. So there are discussions, I'm pretty sure, probably already underway between potential investors and the DTB. And any investors will be brought in front of the fans, I'm assuming, possibly to vote on which one they wanted to go for or to ratify. So it's difficult right now, but it's exciting at the same time. There are some positive things going on. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens financially. And also, the other thing to say, which is important to note, is that although it's been ratified, although, you know, it's confirmed that we're going down to 50.01, the money's not coming in tomorrow. It is going to take a while. And there are things like, you know, if we get someone in place, they'll have to go through the director's test, which we know can take some time as well. So the money's not coming in over the summer, but there'll be noises that will be made. So it's going to be a really interesting and exciting time. And I think we all have to stick together, get behind this brilliant club, shout out, sing and everything for the club on their over these next couple of games. But going back to the little game that you played, the Wish Whopper game, which was which sounded like a lot of fun. I know that you and Niall were able to catch up with some of the players and talk about that experience and talk about where they're up to now. So just listen in and you'll hear some of those players chatting about the experience.
So Mark Lewis, how's it feel to be part of the winning Whopper team? It's quite a big moment, obviously, for the same old Wombles, really.
Absolutely fabulous that we managed to switch sides sensibly to realise that we should be on the winning team. But with Double Junior and Mickey Roots and
the brilliant goalkeeper Andy Sullivan
and slightly better Sullivan Junior, dare I say, who has all the tricks of his father. Yeah, marvellous, great experience.
So just talk me through the penalty.
The two penalties that I won by being attacking, or the penalty that you took three steps on?
The penalty I scored from, Mark.
No, actually, I have to be very gracious to Darren Dobinson, who offered me the penalty, okay, but I realised it was important to score, so I let you have it instead.
Brilliant. It's a great game, and you really enjoyed the experience. What do you make of today's performance, Dobbo?
You've got my performance, personally.
I think as a team, and not to you as well.
I mean, as a team, we were good, we were strong, passed well, rolling back the years a couple of times. We got some youngsters around, so Sully's son was brilliant, so that's what we need.
Right, and we're just going to edit that bit out, so there was no ringers of any shape or form, and that wasn't happening. The ringers were me and Mark Lewis, who are obviously not very good, but Dobbo held it together. Dobbo, well done. I mean, you kind of like playing around and lots of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, this is brilliant. Just a nice. It's been a while since I've kicked a ball, so it's nice to come out and my daughter was down here to actually see what AFC Wimbledon was like back in the day. So
I've just got to say that she's currently hugging the trophy. So do you mind if I ask you one or two quick questions? Yeah. So what do you make of seeing your dad playing, and also how does it feel to be holding that mighty trophy now?
It feels good to be holding it.
What about your dad? Did he play well?
Yeah, he played good. He played really good.
Yeah? That is cool. So what's your name and how old are you?
I'm Beaver and I'm 9.
9 years old. And would you like to be playing football like your dad at any point?
Maybe when I'm older.
Alright, cool. Well, listen, thank you, Dobbo. That was great. I mean, it's lovely to see you down here. What do you make of being down here at Plough Lane as well?
Yeah, it's just brilliant. It's when I played, it was the best time of my career, definitely. And coming back, it's just the way it's now for me.
And obviously, you know, we've got a bit of an injury crisis in a moment, so you're willing to lace your boots up and play for us in centre back?
It'd be nice. It'd be nice to get on the pitch, yeah. I wouldn't mind.
I'll have words with the gaffer. Cheers, Dobbo. Thanks a lot. Sully, like, obviously, we've obviously found your new position after that. So how does it feel to be the master of the net?
I feel like the new John Burridge, to be fair. He's about 5'5", fantastic keeper for Southampton back in the day. So yeah, I was channeling my inner John Burridge.
Budget. I mean, you definitely look like you dominated the play, and you were there from there holding the whole thing. I mean, do you think there's still a chance of a comeback in the nets there, Sully?
In the senior vets dons, yeah, maybe there'd be a little bit of a run out.
No, seriously, Sully. I mean, enjoy today.
Great fun, really good fun. A chance to play in the same team, even though it's 5-a-side with my son, which was good fun. So, yeah, brilliant for him to come along and experience it and see the spirit of what it's all about. So,
my penalty, what do you make of it?
Oh, that's straight down the middle, you know, no messing around. More than a run-up as well, I liked it. I was going to say to you, well, if you looked at me and turned around, I was going to go take a longer run-up and steam at it, but you scored anyway, so.
Cheers. So I'm delighted to have some members of the winning team, for which obviously the same old Wombles were part of the podcast. So really, really happy to have two of the legends here that played in the game. So, you know, obviously, talk me through Niall's penalty. No, seriously, what do you make of it? How good is it to be down here?
Oh, it's great to be down here. Absolutely loved it. It's such great work that everyone does down involved with WISA and Ray obviously does with Whopper, with the old players association, so to bring it all together is absolutely fantastic. It's great.
club, as we all know. And it's just great to play a small part in a great day like this.
Fantastic.
Yeah, no, it sounded like fun though, Mark. You'd a laugh.
It was a lot of fun. It was played in absolutely the right spirit. There was no dodgy slide tackles or anything else like that. Mickey Haswell is the one I've just forgotten that played in our game as well. And it's very unfair of me to forget because he actually scored a hat trick, scored the first three goals on our team.
Well,
the main reason I managed to get a place in the team is because I was right footed, basically. Everyone else was left back.
Now, listen, this is a secret, right? Because we play a charity match, me and Niall, twice a year. And we might have been able to nick a couple of players to play for us this coming Sunday down in Bromley. We lose every single year, but we might have a chance. We might have a chance.
Because you've got Haswell playing.
Yeah. Anyhow, we didn't say any names.
Okay.
So
you need Sully Jr. playing, actually, because Sully Jr. was a little bit more mobile, and not that Sully Sr. wasn't mobile. He's rather younger and slimmer.
Anyhow, the important thing is we all had fun. The 50-point thing is work is going to happen. We're going to get behind our team. And as we roll towards the end of the season, like we said last week, we don't do this. Our awards are coming up, all right? And I think we almost got our nomination. So what we're going to do is, and what's been great is over the last week, I put up on socials, you know, the different awards we've got. And if anyone's got any suggestions, come back to us and we'll add them in. And I'd just like to thank everyone who's come back to us and contributed. I mean, it wouldn't be a long list of everyone. Actually, it'd be a list of no one because
That's not true. While I was at the game on Sunday, at least one person came up to me in the dressing room as we were getting changed and said, I am your listener. And I had to say to him, I'm sorry, but you're about the fifth person that's claimed that you are the listener. And then somebody else said, thank you very much for putting those lists together of like the club person of the year.
Yeah.
And I think that some of the people you've nominated were absolutely fantastic. So,
yep. So anyhow, we will put out our nominations, but it feels like in terms of the Harry Pell Award for best on-field non-goal moment, at the moment, guys, you know. So maybe there is chance for someone to throw another name in. At the moment, it's Brown for the back heel, and Enkeng for his celebration after the Orient goal. Really feels quite weak, doesn't it? There's got to be some other moments on the pitch which we can add in here.
It's crying out for a last minute winning tomorrow night against.
It is. Then there's the Sort It Out Jackson Award for the best sub. You know, Enkeng, his first league appearance. Hatford, his the second goal against Barnsley, which was brilliant on the 70th minute. Or the winner, Callum Maycock, who scored the 88th minute winner against Port Vale. 2 years in a row, Callum Maycock. And then there's the best food outlet. So we're going for the Greek wrap, the Doshak or the Portuguese, the Argentinian steak shack. So those will be in that for. And for the club person, I think we're looking at Kevin for leading the women's team, Angus Fox for guiding the DTB through a difficult time, Ray and Sharon Armfield and George Jones are going to be our nominations on there.
And, because you forgot it on your list of things, Joe and Teresa Pellegrino, who have been selling programmes forever inside the Capstan.
Oh, yes.
Unsung heroes, for sure.
Yeah. So those are going to be our nominations. We'll put them out on our socials and people can vote /ignore, which we're excited about. And we will
for that then, because we need to put a deadline in.
Yeah, I think the deadline for that has got to be this Friday, which I know is, you know, a couple of. Oh no, we can go a little bit longer than that, can't we? We've got Wigan before then. So, yeah, I reckon we can go another week, probably before the Wigan game, the Friday or so before the Wigan game.
Give Sir Adam an actual deadline and he can put the information out.
Yeah, mate, but we've got another podcast in between now and then. We've got loads of time. So we'll get all that information out. And then on the last game of the season, we'll be presenting the awards, regardless of what's happened. Please, 3 points. Anyhow.
Matt Cooper's just been doing a Donald Trump style.
What is that? I mean, really? You know, no wonder people are suffering from, you know, anxiety attacks and whatever it is. That man is just like causing carnage wherever he goes. He's not good on our podcast. Right. And neither is John Green. We've singularly failed in that again. John, come on, man. Where are you? Give us a shout. Right. Anyhow, thank you very much, Dr. Adam Proctor. Thank you to Tormark Lewis. Thank you to Niall Cooper for kind of being there at the beginning, although he wasn't. And my name's Matt Cooper. We're the same very, very old Wombles. We're back.
I've been standing here since many years ago. You've been under my skin for as long as I have known. We traveled away and we stand in the rain and the cold. Take the rough with the smooth if we win or we